tired, I'm worn. My heart is heavy from the work it takes to keep on breathing. I've made mistakes. I've let my hope fail. My soul feels crushed by the weight of this world, and I know that you can give me rest. So I cry out with all that I have left. Let me see redemption win. Let me know the struggle ends, that you can mend a heart that's frail and torn. Can be reborn, 'cause I'm one. I know I need to lift my eyes up, but I'm too weak. Life just won't let up. Can give me rest. So I cry out with all that I have left. Oh, let me see redemption win. Let me know the struggle ends, that you can mend a heart that's frail and torn. I wanna know a song can rise from the ashes of a broken.
Show listeners, I'm not sure what happened to that second song there, but here it is Saturday already, and we are all together once again, united to hear the message. I'm so happy that all of you have tuned in, and I'm happy to be here with all of you this morning. Each and every one of you are a blessing to me. You are important. You are worthy. You are awesome and amazing people. Today's message is about second chances. Have you ever felt like you just wanted a do-over for something in your life? Have you ever thought back to your past and wish you had done something differently, but it's too late for all of that? Maybe it's over a relationship, a career choice, the purchase of a property, letting go of grudges, the decision to have children or not to have children, you fill in the blanks that apply to your life. I want to tell you, God is not only the God of second chances, He is the God of another chance. This means that even beyond the second chance, there is another chance, and another. This is good news because most of us can mess things up fairly quick. So, I bet some of you can relate to that, right? God is incredibly patient with all of us. The Bible tells us in Psalm 86:15, "But you, O Lord, are a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness." God does not retain His anger forever, because He delights in steadfast love. God forgives, and He forgives, and He forgives. Just as God is patient and forgiving, He wants His children to also be patient and forgiving of others. He gives second, third, fourth chances, and even beyond that, to each of us every day. We must give the same to others. Be gracious and merciful. Why? We need to be gracious and merciful to others because we ourselves are not a perfect people. We are flawed. We do things every day that we should not be doing, and we know this, but it doesn't prevent us from doing it anyway. God still, knowing all of this about us, forgives and gives us chance after chance to redeem ourselves. And with that in mind, should we not be willing to extend that same grace, mercy, forgiveness to other people around us and in our own life? If someone, even ourselves, are truly repentant of our or their wrongs, truly repentant, then we, others, are obligated to forgive and try again, worthy of a second chance. Sometimes, however, there are certain toxic people in our life that we must let go of for our own well-being. That does not mean that we give up on people. It means that we realize and accept the fact that certain people and our relationships with them are not healthy for us to associate with. But even then, people still deserve a second chance to redeem themselves, just as we deserve a chance, until deemed that the situation is seemingly not getting better. Offering forgiveness is not a reconciliation. Many people struggle to find the balance between showing mercy and enabling a harmful person to continue harming. When someone continues to unrepentantly violate another person's boundaries, a wise person learns to set firmer boundaries. There may be times when we have to choose, keep them in our life, or decide that they are too toxic to our well-being and we have to let them go out of love. Giving people second chances means we give them another chance to earn our trust. That does not mean we instantly forget what our experience has taught us. Trust is earned over time. We can have a loving and forgiving heart, but we can also choose wise guardianship of our heart. When we have wronged somebody, we have no right to demand another chance, folks, but we should work to earn another chance by continued demonstration of change and repentance. God does not force us to do anything, and that is why we are all given free will. However, the Bible warns us that if we continue to reject God and take advantage of God's patience of us, three different times the phrase, "God turned them over," appears in the Bible. When we insist on running our lives the way we want rather than the way God wants, He lets us. Eventually, when our hearts are so hardened against Him, He lets us go. At this point, sin is our God. There may come a time in a human relationship when the same thing happens, when forgiveness has been offered and restoration has been made possible, but one person refuses to or rejects the idea to reconcile. This may be the time to end that relationship, folks. Second chances are no longer working. Ending a relationship should always be a last resort. There is a reference to this in Matthew 18:7. This is to be true of whether you are asking a second chance of someone else or someone else is asking you for a second chance. God does everything possible to draw us even nearer to Him, offering forgiveness and second chances. That is in 2 Peter 3:9. But if we continue to reject him, and the offer is withdrawn, and at death, there are no more chances. There's a reference to that in Hebrews 9:27. Folks, God's grace is our model. We can offer second chances to others. Others can extend second chances to us. Until a healthy relationship is no longer possible, we should continue to give second chances. Some people give up on each other way too soon. I read a little something recently, and I would like to share that with you. Dear past, thank you for your lessons. Dear future, I am ready. Dear God, thank you for another chance. Are we grateful for the lessons? Are we ready to make change in the future, to reconcile a rocky relationship or even one that has become non-existent with someone? Are we grateful for the second chance we are given? What is your situation with that someone in mind? Are you willing to do the work to reconcile? We are all capable of reconciliation with God and with people, but are we willing to do the work to achieve it? Folks, in Joel 2:25 of the Bible it says, God can restore what is broken and change it into something amazing. All you need is faith. Folks, life is too short to not have the relationship with someone that you want, that you desire. And it is never too late to have a relationship with God. As I said earlier, if you ask God to forgive you and allow Him into your heart, He forgives. And He will send the Holy Spirit to dwell there in your heart and to guide you. In my opinion, even though I know it is much easier said than done, this world and its people would be so much better off if we look to God as our role model for our relationships. Any relationship. Intimate, co-workers, friends, church, families, etc. I am going to go out on a limb here and share an intimate testimony with you folks. It's a testimony about one of my own life experiences. It is still raw and very real, so bear with me if I tend to get a little emotional. As you all know, my biological dad passed away this past December. In January of 2018, my dad's health started to deteriorate, and I moved in with my parents for 6 months to help them. A vehicle accident brought me back home to recuperate. But even during the time of recovery, I still managed to go back to my parents' farm and help them, even though they lived 2 hours north of me. Okay, now I'm going to fast forward to the past. My dad and I did not always see eye to eye. We loved one another very much, but had very different opinions about how to live our life. We both made mistakes over my lifetime and his. Those mistakes seriously compromised our father-daughter relationship, nearly up until his passing. We are talking about a span of maybe close to 40 years. I could not seem to get past what had been done through the years. My husband would oftentimes give me constructive criticism and share some wisdom with me about how important it is to forgive someone and to let it go. I would always tell him, I did not hold anything against my dad, but my husband always seen right through that, even more so than I myself could even recognize. In December of 2017, a few short weeks before my dad's health failed, and I went to live with my parents, my husband came to me once again, trying to stress the importance of keeping the past in the past and moving on with my life, reminding me that life is really so short, that I should really consider doing whatever it took to take care of this before it was too late, because my dad would not be around forever. After that, there would be no more chances, no turning back, just a life with regrets, wishing I would have handled things differently. I finally realized and accepted that truth, and I began the journey of asking myself some very hard questions, analyzing my heart. My husband was right. I asked myself many times after that conversation, why? What was my stronghold? What did I think would happen to me if I let it go? What was preventing me from breaking the chains that bound me? Of course, Satan had a grip on my mind the whole time. Little did I recognize. Feeding my head full of lies about why I couldn't give it up. Those were some very strong questions to ask myself. It's even harder to be completely truthful with yourself. What I finally come to realize was this. Somehow, I had got this idea in my head, deep, deep down inside, buried where only God knew. I had carried certain baggage for nearly 40 years. It was all I knew, folks. It was a part of me, a big part of me. It had become who I was, so much so that I allowed it to define me all those years. It was a very hard truth that God revealed to me about myself. I had always saw myself as the strong, independent woman who seldom asked for any help with anything, considering myself to be so strong and so brave, of balanced mind and capable body. I was identifying with, was reflecting on, and feeling the pain of old hurts, deep, deep down inside, that once a very little child had felt. Though I was not that small child anymore, deep down inside I still felt like one. It was as if a part of me, way down deep inside, that I thought I had long since buried, was still in there, still dictating certain behaviors. I honestly believed that this was so ingrained into me, so connected to my soul, to who I really was, that if I let it go, I would lose myself completely and not know who I was anymore. I felt like part of my life had been a lie, and I wasn't sure that I knew what to do. I didn't know how I felt like I was ever going to build a new identity for myself from scratch. I did not think I could. Suddenly, I lost my courage and my bravery. In my very younger years, Dad and I were very close then, and things started to change as I grew up, and our differences became, to me, insurmountable. I did not stop going for visits, though. I did not allow that to prevent me from going home as much as possible, to spend time with them and to share in celebrations, share laughter, and still have good times. If my parents ever called and needed my help around the farm or whatever, I was always right there without question. But in my heart, I was still hanging on to something. I believe with all my heart these feelings were mostly one-sided, meaning I was the only one holding on to the grudge. Yes, Dad sometimes did not agree with the choices I made in my life. Yes, I would even go so far to say that I disappointed him a few times. I do not know if he also held a grudge against me. It is my belief that I do not think he did, in spite of his behaviors toward me through the years. But this past year, during Dad's decline, I prayed and I prayed every day. Please, dear Lord, give me the strength to do whatever it takes to reconcile with my dad. Put a desire and a willingness to do the work I need to do in my heart. Please, Lord, give me the time with Dad to make things right. Please don't take him until you do a mighty work in me and help me to rebuild the bridge to reconciliation. Every day I prayed for Dad and I. In May of 2018, I was driving home on one of my weekly visits back to see my own family where we live. I was listening to something on the radio, and I was praying about the situation. I had heard many times, confront the person, write a letter and burn it, and other similar ways of helping oneself to let it go. I have a voice recorder built into my sun visor on the driver's side of my vehicle, folks. And I was suddenly overcome with the feeling to turn on that voice recorder and talk into it as if Dad were sitting right there alongside me. Scream, cry, whatever it took to release all those feelings. I'm quite sure, people, that the people in the cars passing me head on were thinking that they were witnessing a crazy person. I cried. I screamed. I told off the voice recorder, representing my dad. I laughed as I shared good times and repeated the cycle for 2 hours it took me to get back home. But in that two-hour car ride, forgiveness was found. I truly let it go. I felt a great weight of 40 years lift completely off my shoulders instantaneously. I felt lighter than I had in so long I couldn't even remember. The deed was done. The burden gone. The chains broken. Old hurts were healed. Proper perspective of things were in place. I had a new understanding, a new outlook, a new love in my heart. I wasn't even that same person before that car ride anymore. Just like that, God answered my prayers. And folks, He can do that for you too. All you need is to ask God and have the faith of a mustard seed that I'm always talking about, and it too shall pass for you. From that day forward, I saw a different person in my dad than before, not because he had changed, but because I had changed. I was able to show love and have empathy and compassion in a way that had been closed off to me by my own doing for so many years. I asked myself afterward, what took you so long? Why did you waste so many years on foolishness when I could have been sharing some really wonderful years with my dad? Not to say that I did not have wonderful years with him, but they could have been so much more fulfilling for both of us. I try not to dwell on that. What is in the past is in the past. I do not live there, and I refuse to camp there. It is not productive to my life now. But you know what, folks? God blessed me with an abundant, beautiful, amazing whole year with my dad before he passed. Most people do not have a whole year to reconcile with a loved one, to get it right. I was very, very, very blessed that I did. I took full advantage of that last year to spend as much time with my dad as I possibly could, talking to him in a way of airing things that I or we had never been able to do before. Some of the last things that he said to me were so healing to my soul, and I believe the things I said to him were every bit as healing to his soul. He set the record straight on a few miscommunications. He told me repeatedly through that year that he loved me. Lots and lots of hugs and kisses. He was proud of me, which was a huge thing for me to hear because I believed I was just one big disappointment to him. Holding his hand as he lay in the hospital room and then later his own bed at home, I felt closer to him than I had in 40 years. Once I considered him to be my hero, my best friend. I was his daddy's little girl. Before Satan eroded that relationship and I allowed it to happen. Though not intentionally, Dad, as all good parents do, sacrificed so much for me and my brother growing up, and even into our adult years, that I did not give him enough credit for. I remember a time when my dad was always there for me. Even through the long years, he was still always there for me, even when I made some really poor and stupid choices and mistakes in my life. A good parent never stops loving their children. God never stops loving us, His children. No matter what kind of mess or how big the mess we make of our lives, I was just too blinded with Satan's lies to see the love was there the whole time. But the last few months of my dad's life, before reconciliation, and after the tables turned, the shoe was put on the other foot, folks. I sacrificed for my dad. I held him, held his hand, wiped his brow, comforted him, fed him, and gave him water when he was too weak to do it for himself. I stuck in there beside him, even holding him physically up so that he could sit up on the side of his bed without falling over. I loved him unconditionally. He reverted back to the child, and I took over the role of parent. It was a very endearing time, a very special time, in both of our lives. I would never, ever change anything I experienced this past year with my dad in his final days, with the exception that I wish he were still here for me to spend a few more years with. God gave me such a real gift. You cannot put a price on that with a loved one. Nothing in this world compares. Everything else just fades to the background. The things once thought to be so important, deal breakers, none of it matters anymore. I ask myself sometimes what happened in my life that I thought was so bad that I wasted all those years that could have been. Now, after his passing, I cannot think of one thing that I thought was such a big deal, a deal breaker, that was really so awful. All those things dim and fade away once it's too late, folks. Folks, I know some of you out there are facing a similar situation, holding a grudge, not letting go of something. Perhaps you are on the other side of that. You are the one who longs to be reconciled in a relationship. Someone else who has given up on you or holds bad blood in their heart for you and is not willing to let you back into their lives. Folks, I'm going to go ahead and take a quick break here. And when I come back, we will continue with this conversation. The first song is A Heart That Forgives by Kevin Levor.
I want a heart that forgives, a heart full of love, one with compassion just like yours above. One that overcomes evil with goodness and love. Like it never happened, never holding a grudge. Want a heart that forgives, lives and lets live. One that keeps loving over and over again. One that men can offend because your word is within. One that loves without price like you, Lord Jesus Christ. One a heart that loves everybody, even my enemies. One a love like you, be like you, just like you did. One a heart that forgives. When the ones that are closest, that I've known the longest, hurt me the most, I still want to love them just like you love me, even though I'm hurting. I want a heart that forgives when the pain is so deep, it's so hard to speak about it to anyone, just like your son. I give up my right to hold it against them with hatred inside. I want a heart that loves everybody, even my enemies. I want to love like and be like and just like and did. I wanna walk like it's all like, just like you did. Wanna be like you, live like you, just like you did. Cause a heart that forgives is the heart that will live, totally free from the pain of the past. And the heart that lets go is heart that will know so much freedom. Lord, I want to let it go.
Hey, hallelujah.
God, I need to let it go. Lord, it's been holding me back, and I don't want it, I don't want it, I don't want it no more. I don't know exactly what to do to get rid of it, but here I am, Lord Jesus. Here I am, oh, here I am, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord, I need you, I need you. I know this is me that you're talking to. This is me, this is me, this is me, Lord, this is me. Lord, I let it go. Every person that's ever hurt me, God, I let it go. Every single hurt, God, I let it go. Every single pain, God, I let it go. I let it go. I let it go. Lord, you can have. Lord, you can have. Lord, you can have it. Lord, you can have it. You can have it now. You can have it now. 'Cause I don't want it.
Only God can change our minds.
maybe you and I were never meant to be complete. Could we just be broken together? If you can bring your shattered dreams and I'll bring mine, can healing still be spoken and said? Just be broken together. If you can bring your shattered dreams and I'll bring mine, can healing still be spoken and save us? The only way will last forever is broken together.
Welcome back, Hope Show listeners. If you are just tuning in, today's message is about second chances. If you would like to go back after the show and listen to the first half, the message will be uploaded to the podcast page on the Shaziz website. Before the break, I was sharing a personal and intimate testimony of my own with all of you. I was talking about how important it is to forgive someone, to give someone a second chance, whether you are on the receiving or the giving end of a relationship. Folks, I know there's probably a lot of you out there that are going through a similar thing as I have. Perhaps this has carried on for years. Perhaps it's newer than that, and maybe it's just been a few months or a few years, not a lifetime. But folks, don't let something get in the way of your relationships. Relationships are important. All relationships are important. And if it's a friend or if it's a family member or whatever it is, Lord, you know, it's just, it is important enough to work on it. You only get one life. And the people that you're having a grudge against or they have against you, they only have one life also. And when it's over, folks. And all I can say about that is, if it's a friendship, don't let it be lost. If it's a relationship in your family that's splitting you apart between brother and sister, mother and father, between yourself and mother and father, just whatever it is, folks, I just pray for each and every one of you that you will take heed to this message today, and you will listen to it closely and carefully, and you will listen to my testimony and how it just breaks my heart now, even though I'm still blessed and I'm still happy for the time, and I'm grateful for the forgiveness that came in my heart, but it was late in life. And I just want all of you to not go through all that, and to not let years go by before you decide to fix something. And people, please, don't be so stubborn, you know, to think, well, I'm just going to wait on the next person. Don't do that. Anyway, I'm going to jump right back into the message. Folks, I cannot stress enough to all of you, ask yourself, is it going to matter if, when someone passes away? Is it going to matter a week, a month, a year, or 5 years from now? If something as terrible has happened to someone you love tomorrow, would whatever that is standing in your way of being reconciled in that relationship with someone be worth the time wasted? in holding on to some difference or matter of opinion, allowing that to put a tremendous wedge between the both of you, or perhaps burning a bridge permanently. Folks, I can tell you with all sincerity, in my own experience, with the knowledge and the gift God has given me this past year, it would not have been worth all those years for any type of separation or situation. I thank God every day for His great wisdom, guidance, and healing powers in my life. I thank God for the incredible miracle that happened in my life, the experiences I've had over the past year. I would not change one thing unless it would be to still have my dad on earth with me for a few more years. But I am very blessed because I got to do something that most people do not ever get to do: get a second chance. That is to spend quality time in building a new, improved relationship with a very dear loved one. Folks, I had a whole year with my dad to reconcile, and I am eternally grateful that I listened to God. I obeyed His voice, guiding me to do the right thing, and for sending my husband as a tool to make that happen. When you experience all I've experienced this past year, not to diminish not one of you for your own personal experiences or to sound arrogant about my experiences that would make you believe that I think my own experiences to be more or greater than yours. My point is, your life will never be the same, and that is a good thing. I have been transformed, my mind, body, and spirit renewed. I have been changed in ways that have made my experiences richer and given me a greater perspective on life. I will never look at things in the same light as I did before. You hear it all the time: life is too short. You almost become desensitized to what that really means. It becomes a cliche, something that we just say. It goes through one ear and right out the other. We do not listen or believe. We always think we have one more day, maybe even longer. People, I can tell you, life really, really is too short for drama, discontent, and chaos. The Lord never intended for us to live on this earth with anything less than pure joy, happiness, and harmony among our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. In 1 and 2 Chronicles in the Bible, it talks about live the life God intended. Sometimes when we read about the people in the Bible, our lives feel incredibly distant from theirs. We sometimes ask the question, what could they have to teach us? But when we read the Chronicles 1 and 2, that is not the case. Though they lived many, many years before Jesus, their worries, their doubts, their struggles are all too similar to our own. In one such case, after returning from a 70-year exile, they felt small, insignificant, forgotten. They wondered if they had messed things up permanently with God. More than anything, they wondered what their new lives should even look like after going forward. That is a question we still ask ourselves today. But as we study the Bible, we discover that God intends a rich, abundant life for us, one filled with love, community, grace, compassion, mission, and closeness to God. And the good news is that it is not as far off as you might think. Same with our relationships in life, here on earth. A few months ago, it hit me hard. I am almost to the big 5-0. That means, best case scenario, I am either halfway through my life or over halfway through my life, whatever God deems for my life. I ask myself, what have I done with this life God has given me? Have I took for granted a lot of my life? Have I been too arrogant in my thinking that I still have a long time to do this or that? Do I take for granted that I still have many years of life left? Have I fulfilled my destiny? Am I living a life as God planned for me? Is there something more I can do? Or something I am supposed to be doing that I'm not? Am I standing out in faith and obedience every day, all day, from the moment I get out of bed in the morning? I still have much to do in my life, God willing, and I still have more life in me. But I cannot, at this point, be foolish with my time. I should have been living a God-filled life from birth, taking advantage of every moment, every gift God gave me from the beginning. But instead, I spent many of my own years rejecting God, and I wasted precious time. I cannot afford to do that anymore, and neither can you. I know a lot of you are probably feeling that same urgency to do something in your life, or with your life, to right old wrongs. Folks, now is the time to get started. Do not keep putting it off, putting what you are supposed to be doing on the back burner. I assure you, tomorrow is not a guarantee for any of us, no matter how young or old you are. It is not a guarantee for anybody. You need to decide what is important to you. Get your priorities straight and work to accomplish them. Leave a lasting, memorable, good legacy for those you will leave behind eventually. Do something great and significant with your life, and not waste your precious time over crazy stuff. No one knows what tomorrow will bring. You may be in a car accident. You may have a heart attack. You may have some sort of other accident. Or you may end up being diagnosed with a fatal disease. God forbid, I hope none of you come upon that. I hope none of you have those kinds of things happen to you, and I hope that each and every one of you will live all the days of your lives out to complete, to the time that the good Lord feels to take you home. But I'm just saying, folks, don't hold off. Don't waste any more time. It is not worth it. It does not matter how you start if you give up in the end. 2 Chronicles 24:1-25. In this chapter of the Bible, we are told a sad story about losing passion for the most important relationship in the universe, a relationship with God. It describes a man who had everything: wealth, power, influence, a rich spiritual upbringing, meaningful work to do, and a good track record with the Lord. But he threw it all away. How many of you out there have threw it all away? It is a sobering story and a call not only to start off right, but to finish well. Your whole life matters to God. Your whole life should matter to you. Your relationships should matter to you. We have divorced spirituality from loving our neighbors if we fail to bring justice to the oppressed. If we don't share our resources with a world in need, if we hate or refuse to forgive, if we practice prejudice for any reason, showing love for others, no matter what sounds so true, so right, the history of the world, in its current state of affairs, and our own track record as people, suggest that we keep forgetting the simple truth. Desperate places of weakness, brokenness, and vulnerability. Those are the times in our lives that we are at our very wit's end. If something does not drastically change in our life, we are going to be lost. There is an inseparable link between how we love God and how we love people. But we need to love people as God loves all of us, unconditionally. Flaws and imperfections, because we all have them. Not one of us is made perfect. Do people deserve second chances? Let me ask you that. Do people deserve second chances? does that person in your life that you're estranged with right now deserve a second chance? Do you deserve a second chance? Sometimes people make mistakes, and sometimes those mistakes deserve to be forgiven. If a person is genuine and apologizes to you, and not just gives you a quick, "I'm sorry," if they take responsibility for hurting you or you hurting them, and sounds like he or she honestly regrets what they have done, they or you deserve to be given a second chance. They have the right to earn your trust back. But even if a person, perhaps even you, do not admit a wrong, they still deserve a second chance. Here's why. First, God forgave you. Secondly, God will not forgive you if you do not forgive others. And thirdly, it is the right thing to do. It may or may not impact your life, but unforgiveness impacts someone's life. Give them a bone and extend the olive branch. Love someone anyway. Sometimes it is not about us. Sometimes it is about someone else. Do not be the one that keeps the stumbling block to a better future in front of someone. Just when someone else is trying to do better, be better. Do not be the one to throw your leg out and trip the other person. Do you want that to happen to you? Are you the person this is happening to? How does that make you feel? Sometimes that is one of the problems in life. People don't think. They don't have any compassion for other people. They cannot empathize, with what someone else feels. They cannot go outside of themselves and place themselves in another person's shoes. If they could or would, things would be much different in this world today. It is very sad, but it is very true, folks. Oftentimes, we are too caught up in ourselves to recognize the needs of another person. If a person does not pressure you or guilt you into giving him or her a second chance, then by all means, you should give them a second chance. If a person doesn't act entitled to your love, but is still hoping that you will let them back into your life or that they can set things straight so that they can do what they should have done the first time, give them a second chance. They deserve the second chance as long as they have learned something from their mistake and they are not taking advantage of your forgiveness. As long as they are not going to go back to doing the same thing that tore you apart in the first place, then by all means, give them some slack. Let them have the opportunity to prove themselves to you and earn your trust back. Every one of us should treat each other with respect. If your man looks at you and smiles at you and kisses you like you're the only girl that matters in his world, give him a second chance. Ladies, and if you're a lady, if your lady swears to you she won't make the same mistake, that she understands what you need from her and has decided that she can give you what you need, give her a second chance, men. Same with a mother, father, brother. Give them a second chance. With a coworker or friend, if both of you are willing to put the past in the past and agree to never bring it up again, agree to disagree. If everyone is willing to let go of the problems of yesterday and focus on tomorrow, on what the relationship could be instead of what it currently is, folks, give it a second chance. If you are happier than you've ever been with any other person, happier than when you're apart, if most of the time you spent together are filled with laughter and not pain, and if you have a gut feeling that you should make up or be with that person, belong with them, give them a second chance. If it's an intimate relationship, if you can imagine spending the rest of your life together, if you honestly believe that the other person isn't going to do anything intentionally to hurt you ever again, then trust them. Love them. Give them another chance. Folks, here's the first truth. Second chances rarely happen by chance. First chances are something very special indeed. But first chances are also notorious for fizzling out. And this brings us to our second truth. These relationships will only take you so far. If you mess up, you may or may not be given another chance with someone, no matter who or how close that someone was to you. It does not matter if it's your family, friends, co-workers, etc., or if it is you. Though we are all called to love one another unconditionally as God loves us, that does not mean that everyone gets the memo or is willing to mend fences. First chances contain seeds for second chances, not to mention third, fourth, and fifth chances. But folks, without water or soil, they can lie dormant forever. Those seeds are durable, though. They can bloom years later. Like the relationships in our own lives, things happen, can tear us apart, but there is still hope for a rebirth. Are you holding out on someone, or are you the one being held out on? Don't you think it's about time, folks? Long past overdue, that you let someone off the hook, that you give them a second chance, or that they give you a second chance before it is too late to reconcile? Do not be a person that waits to do something right up until you are 50, 60, 70, beyond years old. Do not live with regrets and past failures. Do not give up on what could still be the best years of your life with someone. And do not think it's ever too late or that you have messed up so bad, not mending the problems of yesterday, that mending the problems of yesterday are impossible. Folks, you know, here is another scenario. What if you have two stubborn people, which I believe is probably the case for my dad and I, feeling the same way, maybe having hurt feelings inside, perhaps wishing things were different between us or someone else, but too stubborn to make that first move. Folks, do you know how really unproductive that is? Are either of you willing to allow a life, a relationship, to be decommissioned, put out of service, cast away, because one of you have too big of an ego? How ridiculous. What a waste of time. Do the right thing. No matter what end of the situation you are on, do not let another moment go by, folks. To be a part of someone special, to be a part of their life. What if it is your very, very best friend in the world? What if it is a grandparent missing out on the life of their grandchildren or vice versa? What if it is a child or parent missing out on one another's life? What if it is a brother or sister, aunt or uncle? Do you want to be a part of destroying another person's life? Do you want your own destroyed? People, please. Give this message some serious consideration. There are too many broken relationships and too many people suffering because of it. If my testimony helps one relationship mend, then that is my reward in heaven. Sometimes it is hard to share an intimate testimony with others. We feel vulnerable. We wonder if it will help someone or just open us up to more pain and ridicule. Please do not allow Satan to rule your mind and make you believe his lies. Do the right thing, no matter how hard it is to do. People, no matter what another person says or does to you, no matter if your efforts fall on deaf ears, if you do what God calls you to do and you step out in faith, you do what you know is the right thing, when the time comes, you can look in the mirror with a clear conscience and let yourself off the hook, knowing you gave your all to make amends. If it didn't play out as you hoped, then recognize that sometimes our best efforts still fail, but that you did choose to do the right thing, and it still just did not work out. Sometimes you have to recognize that failure does not always come from you. And if that is the case, that is not on you. It is not your burden to carry. But it's on the other person instead. You can still look in the mirror and be satisfied and happy with your own efforts and go to sleep at night with a clear conscience. If that happens in your life, yes, it can be painful. And I'm sorry. You may have to go through that. But God has you in the palm of His hand, and He is in control. And when you think you're done for, look back and only see one set of footprints in the sand, thinking that even God has left you? No. Don't think that way. No. Rethink that and recognize that when you think God and the world have abandoned you, that one set of footprints in the sand is not your own. It is like the poem, God's Footprints. He carried you when you felt you could not go on. God does not give up on His children. God gives more than second chances. And you know what else? I learned another very valuable lesson this past year. It is that it does not matter what people think of you. People do not know what God knows. People do not see or know our heart like God does. God knows everything about us, how we think, feel, and think. Nothing about us is a secret to God. He knows us better than we know ourselves, and He knows the things that will come out of our mouth before it goes out and over our lips. Nothing about us comes as a surprise or as a shock to our Heavenly Father. So the next time you think you have gotten by with or that you have pulled the wool over God's eyes, remember that you are so wrong. When you think of doing something, remember, God already knows you would do that. I pray that keeps you accountable for any wrongdoings, especially toward God and your loved ones. I truly hope there has been something in this message today that will soften your heart or the hearts of someone else, making amends a truly amazing reality for you or someone else. I'm going to pray as we finish up today, and I ask you to join me in speaking this prayer alongside me today. Father, forgive me for foolishly neglecting and taking you and my relationships for granted. Countless times you have saved me from danger, unimaginable situations, and yet I have not always recognized or given you the credit and the praise you deserve. I did not show you my gratitude or faith. Father, please forgive me for being a sinner. Forgive me my bad choices and mistakes, not only unto you, but also my relationships. Forgive me for disrespecting you and others. Father, let me promise you, in the best of my abilities and with your help, I can do better in my relationships. I can give and earn a second chance from someone else. I will correct whatever the damage is that has been made, and I will make efforts to change my behaviors and reconcile my relationships. With all of your help, Father, all of this will be made possible. Thank you, Father, for unconditionally loving me and giving me the guidance that I so desperately need to fix my mistakes or allow others to fix their own. And all the people said, Amen. Fellow brothers and sisters, do not waste another moment of your time letting something get in the way of mending your relationships, your damaged relationships. Go out there right now, make that call, make that visit with that person in person. Set the stage and follow through. Do not let ego get in the way of your happiness and your well-being anymore. So let us meet again next week, same time, same place, and God bless each and every one of you all week until next Saturday. Oh, There is one other thing I want to mention before I close, folks. I nearly forgot. I am going into the hospital for a major surgery next Tuesday, April the 16th. I will not have the time or preparation or potentially even feel like doing a message on Saturday, April 20th, the next week. However, next Saturday on April the 20th, the show will go on, but I will be doing an hour of Christian contemporary music, the same style that I play on my show each week. Folks, I will make every attempt that if I feel like it, I will sit here at this computer at least part of the time, and I will still be here visiting, put my 2 cents worth in once in a while, and I'll be a voice in that hour if I can possibly get to this computer and I feel like sitting up that long and talking. If I'm still in a lot of pain or under the influence of pain medication that prevents me from thinking clearly, then Shaziz will stand in my place and still play you the same inspiring music. So please, folks, don't miss out on some great, encouraging, uplifting music next Saturday. Tune in as usual. I promise you that you will not be disappointed. You will not receive, or you will still receive the same blessing as you would if it were a message. But know, folks, that if I cannot make it, my thoughts and prayers are with you. I love you, and I will return with my regular messages on the following Saturday, April 27th. My hour on Saturday the 20th will not be lost, and so I hope that this won't stop you guys from dropping by same time, same place, on the Hope Show next Saturday. So, like I said, if I'm able, I will still be here, but we will have an amazing hour of Christian music. So I will talk to you all very soon, and I would ask that you keep me in your prayers this week and the upcoming weeks. So I'm going to play us a few songs up out of here. The first one, "And Here Is My Heart" by Casting Crowns, and "God Only Knows" by King and Country. Love you, folks. Have a good week.
We don't have to come to God like somebody else. We come to Him like we are. And a lot of times that means that I start my prayer time with, God, just show me my heart. Show me where I am. God, show me truth about myself, so I know how to follow You. Sing this prayer with us.
Here's my heart, Lord. Here's my heart, Lord. Here's my heart, Lord. Speak what is true.
Sing that again. Here's my heart.
Here's my heart, Lord.
Can you pray that to Him?
Here's my heart, Lord. Here's my heart, Lord.
Speak truth, Lord.
Speak what is true.
I am found. I am Yours. I am loved. I'm made pure. I have life. I can breathe. I am healed.
Here's my heart, Lord. strong. You are sure. You are alive. You endure. You are good. Always true. You are light. Breaking through.
Search your heart. Lord, open us up. Speak to us. Draw us closer to you, Father. Let's sing this prayer to him. You are more than enough. Can you sing that?
Because you are more.
Thank you for your amazing, amazing, amazing patience with us. I can't imagine what it's like to watch us down here chasing our tails, scratching all our itches, thinking that we found answers. We're digging holes in the ground, calling them wells, and just starving little people. God, if we would ever open up our heart to you, trust you, you do something only you can do. Can we sing that chorus one more time?
Here's my heart, Lord. Here's my heart, Lord. Here's my heart, Lord. Speak what is true.
Show up while you're dreaming. Nobody, nobody, nobody sees you. Nobody, nobody will believe you. Every day you try to pick up all the pieces, all the memories that somehow never leave you. Nobody, nobody, nobody sees you. Nobody, nobody.
believe it. God only knows what you've been through. God only knows what they say about you. God only knows how it's killing you. But there's a kind of love that God only knows.
Find you. God only knows how to break through. God only